our scripture lessons. We have an Old Testament and New Testament lesson today. Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, reading the first five verses. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And the New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, reading the first 14 verses. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver a child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we light the candle of peace today, and that really is what we think of when we think of Advent, is God's peace, God's shalom. But there's other voices that we hear about kind of the secular idea of Christmas. In our family, we don't listen to holiday music until after Thanksgiving lunch. And then after Thanksgiving lunch, we can start listening. And so I have these on Sirius XM, I have these holiday channels that we listen to. And it's, you know, it's a whole different kind of message. And there's all this about being happy. And I'm really scared, but I'm going to sing this to you. This one really got my attention. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Thank you. And I took some guts to do that. But you know, I mean, we hear about, you know, Merry Christmas, or over in England they say Happy Christmas, and in France they say Joyeux Noël. It all means we're supposed to be happy. And that's great if you're happy. And if you're happy today, wonderful. Be happy. I am fairly happy myself right now. So don't let me rain on your parade. But there are other people, and a lot of people I find over the years, that Christmas is not a happy time for them. And so we really have to understand what Advent is for us. What is it? I mean, why do we spend all this time and energy decorating and spending four Sundays getting ready for the stories of the birth of Christ that we've heard for all our lives? And so what I want to suggest to you is that Advent is about Christ coming into the midst of human living. All right, listen to that again. Advent is about Christ coming into the midst of human living. And you know that from this Luke passage, because he goes out of his way to say that it was a decree from the Emperor Augustus in Rome, a particular guy, that everybody should be registered. And then it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And in other gospels, they even tell you that Herod was there and Caiaphas was there and Pontius Pilate. Jesus came into a specific time and place with real people that were populating it. He came into the midst of life. And so for us today, when we're living, he's coming into the midst of our lives too. And I don't think this happiest stuff is going to do it if you're really struggling, as I know some of you are. Or you're really sensing, you know, kind of a depression or darkness right now. There are a lot of challenges right now. And so I wanted to kind of look at these two scriptures and understand what Advent has for us and what does Advent say to us. You know, I remember back when I lived in Atlanta, I was trying to build an 8-track studio it's a big old tape player with reels about this big, and tape that's about an inch wide. And there's a place called Rhythm City in downtown Atlanta where I was buying this big tape machine. And it was the key part of having the studio in my basement. And so I went to Rhythm City and went in, and I'd been there before and seen it and talked to them, and finally decided to make that deal. I'm gonna buy this thing. It's expensive, but I'm gonna buy it. And so we did it. And it's probably 2.5 feet tall by 1.5 feet deep, you know, and two and a half feet wide. It's got these big capstan turners that weigh a ton. And it takes like three people to carry it. It's so heavy. And this is in downtown Atlanta, and there's a lot of traffic, and it's right before Christmas, and people are just kind of crazy. And so the guy was so excited to make the sale at Rhythm City, he said, "Listen, where are you parked?" And I said, "I'm parked like two blocks away." And he said, "That's okay." He said, "There's a space. I see it right now. Right in front of the store, there's a space. I'll go stand in that space and keep anybody from parking there. And you bring your car and just pull it in that space. And then we can just bring it out and put it in your car." And I went, "Great." So I walk the two blocks to my car. I get my car and I drive up there and I see him. He's in that space right in front of the front door of Rhythm City, and he's waving me in. And I happen to notice there is a car double parked in front of the car in front of me. And I'm going to sweep him behind this car. And there's another car right there to the left of that car. But he's standing in the space going, "Come on, come on." So I go and I slip into that space. And then I notice that the car that's double parked is running, and the reverse lights are on, the white lights, and it comes back and it rams my car, and then goes back out, and it comes back and rams it again. And then I'm like in shock, and this woman gets out and she goes, "Merry Christmas. You saw me wanting to get in that parking spot." And then she sped off. And I thought, "Merry Christmas." Somebody needs an attitude change. So, you know, we're all stressed. What that means is that, I'll say it again, Advent is about Christ coming into the midst of human living, and that was part of it that day. So let's look at the scriptures today, both of these scriptures, the one from Isaiah and the one from Luke, And I want to start with the Luke one, because what Advent is saying to us first, Advent is saying that we can let go of fear. Think about that. We can let go of being afraid. These are scary times. I mean, there's scary times politically. You know, you're hearing things about China attacking Taiwan and Russia invading Ukraine, and there's scary times locally, and there's scary times. I got friends right now who are afraid. They have a cancer diagnosis, and they are afraid they're not going to make it to the summer. That's something to be afraid of right there. I have friends who have had their father die, and their mom has dementia, and they're afraid they're going to have to tell her every day that her husband died. There is a lot, and these are legitimate things. I mean, it's not don't be afraid because there's nothing to be afraid about. There are things to be afraid about. And just as when these shepherds saw this thing that they couldn't believe, this angel with all this, what they call glory, the Greek word is doxa, it probably has something to do with light, and it says they were terrified. And the angel said, the first thing the angel said was, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Now, I like to tell the folks that come to the Bible study on Tuesday night, Gospel of Mark, it's the first gospel. And the first gospel of Mark, does not have the story of Jesus' birth, what they call the infancy narratives. It doesn't have it. Neither does the last gospel written, which is the Gospel of John. You know, that's the one that starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It doesn't have Jesus as a baby. Matthew and Luke are the only ones that have Jesus' birth, and Matthew doesn't have this story. Matthew just has, it says Jesus was born, and the wise men came. That's Matthew. This one is the only one that tells the story of Mary and Joseph going to be enrolled in Bethlehem and having no space in the inn, so they were out there in the stable. He was in a manger. All that stuff we've got in nativity scenes forever. This is the only one. And the first word that Luke has about the birth of Jesus is, do not be afraid. And so if we're going to take anything from Advent right now, think of your fear. What are you afraid of right now? What is that gnawing fear? See if you can, don't tell anybody, but in you, name it. You know, are you fearful about your children getting COVID or your grandchildren getting COVID? Are you fearful about something in your family? Are you fearful about losing your job? Are you fearful about anything? And it's the message of Advent is that you have the option to not be afraid. And the option to not be afraid is to know that it's in God's hands. Because he's not going to say, I forbid you to be afraid. He's just saying, don't. Fear not. And that means you have some control over your fear. Don't be afraid. And the way to do that is to give that over to God. God is in control. And as we sang last week, he's got the whole world in his hands. And so it's not being stupid. It's not being blind to the threat. It's just saying, I am giving this fear to God. And that's a very real thing that Christians can do, that the coming of Jesus to the world that shows that God so loved the world that he gave his only son means that God loves you and God cares for you and God wants you to give your fears up and ask for God's help and control and acknowledge that. All right, so the first thing Advent says is let go of your fear. The second thing Advent says is embrace peace. Embrace peace. This is the peace candle today. The Hebrew word was shalom. And shalom didn't just mean like the absence of warfare. Shalom meant the presence of wholeness, which is different. If you look at verse 14, the heavenly hosts were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. All right, so that's what's happening in the highest heaven. And then what's happening on earth? On earth, peace among those whom he favors. So on earth, our birthright for Jesus Christ is peace. And that is shalom. And it means wholeness. And for God to make us whole, and this is important, we have to acknowledge something. We have to first acknowledge our brokenness. We have to acknowledge our brokenness, and then God can do something with that. So Advent is about confession. Advent is about prayer. It's about going to God with the places where we're broken and asking for peace. Peace on earth is what Advent is saying to us. All right, so now that's two things. So let's let go of fear, embrace peace. And the third is, and this is back with the Isaiah passage, is be comforted. Comfort ye, O comfort ye, my people, says your God. And I've got to tell a personal story about this. Annette and I just went Friday night to the Handel's Messiah. It was put on by the Charlotte Symphony and the Charlotte Chorale. And it was gorgeous. And just I love that music. We heard it every year. But I want to go back to a long time ago, more than 30 years ago, when my children, Matthew wasn't even born, and Melody and Mindy were like 6 and 4. Annette and I were going through a rough patch in our marriage, and we decided it was for us to stay together, we needed to separate. And so I was living in an apartment, and she had the kids at home. And that I thought that was going to last about 3 months. And by the time Christmas got there, we were about to get to 6 months of being apart. And it was a very dark time for me. And I had 2 tickets to the symphony, and I had nobody to go with. And I felt like it was not technically true, but I felt like a lot of friends had stopped liking me. And that's terrible for me. And so I went to the symphony by myself. Atlanta Symphony, Robert Shaw Chorale. And I was feeling very, very down, very depressed, very dark. And if, I don't know if you know Handel's Messiah, but it starts out with a little string thing, and then the tenor steps to the front of the stage and sings, comfort ye, my people. And it was like God was saying that to me right then. That it was just God's voice saying, comfort ye, Jim. Comfort ye. And then it said, the voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In the desert, make straight highway for our God. And you know, I'd always thought, where you prepare the way of the Lord is in abundance, where everything you had, all the fruit trees and all the grass is green and apples and oranges and everything's great, then you prepare the way of the Lord. But this says, it's so funny what a comma will do. You know, because forever I'd heard it, a voice cries in the wilderness, comma, prepare the way of the Lord. And now the scholars who are doing the new version of the Bible are saying, a voice cries, comma, in the wilderness. It's like those things about commas. Somebody wrote me a thing. It says, have a good Thanksgiving, comma, turkey. She was an English teacher. And or, you know, the other one is, let's eat, grandma. Let's eat, comma, grandma. And it's in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So what is your wilderness right now? Liz, seriously, think about it. What is it that is dry and arid? What are you thirsty for? What is your wilderness where it doesn't seem like abundance, that doesn't seem like flowing water? In the wilderness is where we prepare for the coming of the Lord. You don't have, it doesn't, if it's great, it's great, okay? It's great. But you can prepare the way of the Lord in times that aren't great. In the desert, make a highway. It's so interesting to see that, because I think we all have this idea that it's supposed to be the best of times when we can find God. But it can be in the wilderness, like that night when I heard comfort ye for the first time as a direct word to me. And it's a word to you too. And I think what that's saying, you know, when it says, it's really like road work. It's really like, it says, every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And I think that's what that's saying, is it just, we need to rebalance ourselves. We need to be rebalanced. it's, you know, last year was the COVID year, and, you know, we didn't do a lot for Christmas. You know, nobody visited. We kind of hung out, and there was something good about that. Some good things about it. But this year, that, you know, everybody's doing, right? We are doing. We're getting all the gifts. We're trying to think of who we need to bake pies for. We're trying to do all the things of bringing in food when family comes. We're doing all that stuff. We're doing. And what this is saying is stay balanced in your life. Don't get so far down that you can't get up. Just kind of let the rough places become plain again. Balance your life so that you can find that peace. If it's all about just trying to be the best, what, fill in the blank, mom, aunt, grandma, father, whatever, you can lose your sense of who God is in the midst of Advent. You can lose that sense of shalom and of being balanced. Try to think about making it more about being than doing. And so the voice, Advent says to us, first, don't be afraid. Second, embrace the shalom of God, the wholeness of God. And third, be comforted. The Advent is about God saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I am with you. That's what Emmanuel means. We come back to it every single time. God with us. God with us, the hope of glory. I'm gonna quote something to close with this, and I've used it before, but I just think this is really, really appropriate right now as we're getting ready for Advent. And this is from Paul Tillich. He said, sometimes a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, you are accepted. You are accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you do not know. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you have been accepted. And if that happens to us, we experience grace. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we pray that as we get into the middle of Advent, and as we are doing, as we're sensing the wilderness that we're in, that we can accept that we're accepted, that we can accept that you love us and are with us in the desert and in the wilderness. Take away our fear and give us your peace and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.